This is Comedy Potpourri. I'm Paul.
And I'm Alan.
And today we're going to talk about drones.
Drones.
There's been a lot of sighting of drones.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that the drone issue, or what was started back in November of last year, specifically back in back in New Jersey, which makes me kind of laugh, because if you know anything about Jersey and its, I guess its history, not only because of Tesla being in New Jersey doing his work, right? Remember that?
Right.
And there's a little known radio program back in 1938, radio show on CBS or Columbia Radio Broadcasting System for Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. And it makes me kind of laugh a little bit, but it's like, oh, really? New Jersey? Come on, man. Leave the Garden State alone, man. Yeah, we come in peace, right? Yeah! Woo-hoo! Oh, those poor guys. Those poor guys. But it the whole thing started to start to show up that you had these low-flying, fairly large drones. And Paul and I were just talking about the different sizes of drones. What is considered a hobbyist drone versus a commercial drone?
Right. And a hobbyist is, believe it or not, is 55 pounds and below.
So you could carry the small dog, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, okay, let's... what's a good one that shows I have it? Okay, let's talk about Expedition Unknown. Mm. When they go into the jungles and stuff, they actually bring out a pretty big drone.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. It's a backpack drone. With all the equipment on it, it's probably 55 pounds. Close to it. Probably whatever. Mine is like, what, a pound? Maybe?
Yeah, that's about
you
it.
You know, and it has a camera. So there's all these different ones. And then they depend if they're controlled by sight, controlled by your phone, which you can actually see from the camera, or they have the new ones out that actually have the 3D goggles on, and you can actually fly it that way.
Okay, that's kind of tripping me out.
Where you're actually seeing exactly what's in front of it all the time.
That'd be kind of cool, but that would be just kind of disheartening a little bit. I've seen where they've had controllers, like regular remote controls when they're flying airplanes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I actually have that on mine, and you can put the phone on top. Or on the phone itself, we'll have the app where you can actually see what's going on and fly it.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
That's weird. Okay.
And mine's like 2-3 years old, so they're more advanced now. It's crazy.
Drone technology.
So one of the drones that I want to talk about was the jellyfish.
Oh, okay. So the way I remember this story coming up was I was happening to be going through a bunch of YouTube videos, and this guy by the name of Jeremy Corbell had popped up. Now, I had heard about him working with George Knapp. Now, I'm going to give a background here. So George Knapp was an investigative reporter that was living down in Las Vegas, and he got kind of pulled into that whole Area 51 thing. He was the one who made contact with Bob Lazar initially, and who's coming out of Area 51 and talking about working on UFOs and so on like that. And Knapp continued to do this. Now, years later, there's a guy named Jeremy Corbell, who's a filmmaker and kind of an investigative reporter,
right,
I guess.
Right, he is, yeah.
Actually had befriended George Knapp, and they started working together on a series together called Weaponized. And because of their connections together in tandem, started to bring together different groups of people towards putting stuff into the congressional record. So when they had the first UAP investigative thing in the committee back last year in September, I think?
September and October,
okay.
Wasn't it? No, November. It was October, November, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they had one in November. Yeah, and then they had one early in September. So
yeah.
The September one was the big one
right.
Initially, because it was giving more credence to the idea that, UAP is an actual thing. We have different groups of people who have been investigating this stuff, and then it brought in a crash retrieval and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
The second one that was outside of the people who were dealing with Arrow and so on like that, like David Grush and Dave Faber and, there's a one other pilot.
Well, Lou was with that, with Arrow, wasn't he?
What's that?
Was it Lou with Arrow?
He was with Arrow at the time. He had stepped away from it. He had done the second investigative or congressional hearing.
Right.
But that one seemed to be, according to a lot of other people, seemed to be a little odd. Seemed a little lacking in any more concrete evidence being brought forward.
What I understand that with that one, they said that they were trying to try a different approach and ask about follow the money. Is what they were trying to do. Follow the money. Where's all this excess money going to? Does it really cost to run the army or the military that much? You know, that type of thing.
For the black projects and so on that.
Yeah, and the black projects could be underneath that.
Yeah, so I think to kind of put it in perspective. So Corbell and Knapp were able to put in a lot of stuff into the congressional record. So it's on record now that there's a bunch of UFO stuff out there.
On the first one, they had the pilots that recorded
Dave Faber.
Yeah, okay.
Retired colonel, I believe, Dave Faber, who had dealing with the TikTok video.
Right.
And then, again, I can't remember the gentleman's other name, the other guy who was there for Safe Aerospace and so on like that for pilots and so on like that. He had dealt one with a gimbal.
Right.
And so there's two different videos that were leaked. Okay, so moving forward, get past that. So the jellyfish video comes into Corbell's hands. He leaks a little bit out online, and it's just like, and I first saw this, I think, just a tidbit on News Nation or something like that. And it's like, what the hell is this? And Corbell says, hey, okay, so this is leaked to me by a former operative that was at this military base in Afghanistan, I think, is where this takes place at.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So, and this thing is shooting across it as the camera's tracking it through infrared.
Right. Which is, it's being recorded by a drone.
Is it, or is it from a tower?
No, because they said it was a drone.
Okay, so this drone's just tracking this thing, just continuously cruising across. It's got they've called it the jellyfish because of the way it's got these like dangling like arms
right
down below it. And I think the first thing that comes to my mind is like the probe that shows up in like Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
I was
black
thinking
one.
The same thing.
Yeah. So, and I'm seeing this. It's like, I've seen this before. what are you guys doing? Oh, I see how it is. Hollywood always gets a little bit up ahead of everybody. And so this thing is just shooting across his base. But it's changing its color,
right?
Which is in reference to it changing its heat signature.
Right.
And so, and you can see there's guys walking underneath, like guards or something like that.
Yeah, there was. There's people,
and they couldn't
hear it. Notice it because it's invisible except for infrared.
Yeah.
And then it goes further.
Well, from what I've been told, and he's got video of it, and I wish he would reveal it, going this transmedium situation.
Yeah.
And that is the part that I would love to see, because he says that the video shows this drone, alien drone, jellyfish, cruise across this entire complex, and it hovers over a bunch of water, a body of water that's off of the base. Yeah. Goes into it, stays down there for about 13 minutes from what I've been able to gather, and then shoots off out of the water at a 45-degree angle at an incredible high speed.
Right, yeah.
Now, I'm still waiting for Corbell to release that aspect of it. I would love to see him do it, because he's got the editing equipment to be able to edit out any sensitive material that really put this person in jeopardy. But that's what I want to see. I guess I've seen a lot of these like little videos, and I was trying to figure out something just recently, but I'll get into that a little bit later because of my own drone sighting that I saw just recently. But I'll get into that a little bit later. But I would have loved to have seen what this thing looked like. shooting off at a 45 degree angle. You know, and these guys recorded it. Again, you're talking about a drone that was able to drop into the water and then shoot out.
Right.
At this high speed of and not make a sound by doing it. What the hell? What was it doing? Why was it there?
Well, I understand that was the footage was actually still from that drone because they followed it.
So the
military drone.
Yeah, right. So the military drone, that footage was from like what 2000 and when? Like I don't remember.
I thought it was 21.
Could be.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think it was anyway. Yeah.
So there was a guy that came forward that said, yeah, I was on the base. I had recorded it from my phone or something like that. And it's just like, and how long have you? Oh, are you still around? That's the first thing. Did you break your NDA? Because then you'd be seriously a breach by coming forward saying that you shot the footage on your phone of that footage.
On a military base.
On a military base.
Oh, that's a big no-no. That's a federal offense.
Correct. But I haven't heard about what happened to the guy.
How many rocks can you break?
Before those rocks break you. All right. So, there's a jellyfish. So, what else do you know about that?
That's about all I know. And that was brought up in the congressional meeting. Of course, there's some congressmen that were like, oh, wow, you know. Can you explain this? And nobody can. So again, there's the and this is what Lou Elizondo said. This is what he looks at. He says there's some people that are. If I don't see it for my own eyes, I won't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I see it with my own eyes, doesn't mean I believe it.
Well, and there is some truth to that. I mean, I guess I'm not a. I won't say I'm a non-believer, but let's just say that I'm from Missouri. You got to show me.
That's what she said.
Oh, yeah. Knock on. Oh, that wasn't wood. Sorry. Anyway, the thing is that in order to believe something, sometimes you do have to witness it. Now, it's just like we've already talked about how we've had little run-ins with what we believe is a completely different topic. A Bigfoot.
Right.
Right? Your little story that you told me about being in the back of the truck and...
Oh, it was in the front of the truck. Yeah, it was... That was strange.
And for me, hearing a very unhuman-like... howl is the best way to describe it. And of course, my dad was hard of hearing, so he probably didn't hear it. He probably just thought it was a bird. Birds don't sound like that, Dad, but whatever.
No, they don't.
Yeah, but it was weird. And I saw it that footprint, but it was filled with water on that muddy road.
Oh, wow.
When we were going out to do some slash burn stuff.
Well, you know it was serious for him because in the background, besides the screaming and stuff, you heard... Let's get it on.
No, there was no Barry White going on here. Hey, baby. There wasn't any of that going on. But unless you actually see a Bigfoot, now I've seen some pretty convincing stuff on trail cams that seem to suggest that there's something there. But... Here's where I run into a problem with that kind of footage.
With drones.
Well, or any kind of recording material, because what they always show is a snippet. It drives me up
a
fucking wall.
Yeah.
Because they show it like a snippet. And, of course, if you're showing it for like some sort of a news presentation or something like that, it's like it's always this kind of like just this tiny like 15-second clip.
Right.
15 seconds doesn't tell you anything. It just like shows me like this shadowy figure hiding behind a tree, and then it suddenly moves, and then it shuts, and it's like, and come back for part two, and it's like, where's part two? And part two never arrives, and it's just well, that's a bunch of BS.
Which is now gets to I want to get to the point where they started taking the videos of the drones in New Jersey, and they're so far away, I mean, they kind of can see what they are, but not really. And I'm like going, okay, government's not going to release anything.
Why would they?
They're not going to.
They told everybody who had any of that footage to send it to the FBI. Do you think the FBI is going to release that back to you? No.
Oh, no. No.
And you better not have any copies of that, or you'll be in breach of some sort of federal thing if it's found that this is. And it's like, so basically, we get all your video, and then you'll never see it again, ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they do. They always do that.
Yeah,
so.
Well, yeah, national security is what they're going to put it under. Yeah. And it's just like, well, but you haven't been able to tell us if it's national security. Well, that's beside the point.
Okay. That was not the only military base that was happening during
that
time.
No, it wasn't.
There were several other military bases on the East Coast that was happening.
And even actually into the interior of the United States as well.
The one in Colorado had it too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, there's so many. We could blame, let's blame China. They could be spies, Russia.
Go ahead.
Domino's for delivering pizzas.
Oh my God. The Noid. The Noid's a drone.
Well, they were delivering, trying to deliver pizzas for a while.
That's crazy talk.
And then Amazon.
Amazon's been the biggest forefront of that particular thing about being able to deliver stuff by drone to said place.
Right.
But I think they run into so many problems with that. So, but I have yet to hear them actually doing it.
Well, we'll get into regulations later, but going over private property with a drone is against the law, unless you have permission.
Yeah, well, those guys in Jersey aren't buying any of that. They're going to take a pot shot at the thing and take
it. Oh, yeah,
down.
They actually took, people were trying to shoot at them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what happens to those bullets? They have to come down someplace.
Yeah, exactly. So unless you actually hit it, or it wouldn't even matter. So if you hit it, it's still got to come down, right?
Right. Well, then the drone comes down. Where's that going to happen to that?
Boom, crash, smack, bang.
That was one of the reasons they were not going to shoot it down. One is that you had to be at a certain angle out towards the shooting out towards the ocean. And if it didn't go far enough into the water, you can't shoot it because you don't know where the bullets, you know, those bullets are going to land someplace. They don't stop. They still have the same velocity till the end. Goes and it's, they slow down, but you can still get hit and killed by one of them.
That's the reason why you're not supposed to fire off up into the air. Kind of like shooting an arrow in the air.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a movie. That
Happy Gilmore?
Yeah. No.
Oh, the one with Adam Sandler and the rest of those guys?
Best Friends or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
I forget the name of the movie, but yeah, they shoot an arrow and it's like, yeah. It's dumb.
So those are the drones we're talking about. Now, I've been listening to Lou Elizondo. I can't pronounce
this. Elizondo.
Elizondo. And I'm just going to say Lou. So
say it with me. Lou.
He has, during his three, he had a 3-hour interview and he talked about drones. And he said, you got to look at it several ways. One is, military safety.
Okay.
For secrets. And the other one was who's doing it, you know, and what are they looking at? And of course, other people like going, oh, they're just, you know, they're flying around, big deal. Well, no, it's not a big deal.
Really? It's flying over a military installation. That's not a big deal for you, man?
No. Yeah, some people think that.
Apparently not.
Well, probably guys want to fly drones over them.
Okay, so for me, here's where it gets a little... I have a problem. So we have the... Not to get too political here, but we have a new governing body that's been elected that said they were going to come in and investigate it, and then one of the first things they do is they start to address this particular issue. And what do they say? Oh, it's the FAA. Really? The FAA has had literally 2 months to come forward with any of this kind of stuff? What the hell? They should have came out forward with that, like, within the first month that these things were being spotted.
Yeah.
It's like, but I'm not buying any of it because the FAA, are they saying, well, it's not they're doing exercises over Jersey, which they still have a bunch of them, and now it's spread over into New York, and I don't know where else around.
California, there's some in California.
California's in for one.
Colorado. No, Washington D.C. Maryland. Because
yeah, that's
of the Navy base.
Well, and where is was it Langley, West Virginia?
Ooh.
Yeah, you know what's over there.
Well, now that we're think about this. So this is my conspiracy theory here.
Go for it.
If I was an alien and I wanted to make sure that I could check things out without sending, things out, I'd make drones look like the ones we have and just send them out. But the biggest part is, you know what happens when the lights go out?
What?
They can't find them.
All right, so there's been talk of different sizes of these particular drones, right? There's also been drone sightings that have been taking place over in the UK.
Right.
And what?
In
what
Germany,
There's a huge amount of different ones over in Europe. There's France, Italy, Germany. UK in particular has got a bunch of them there. And we're going to discount the drones that are taking place between the conflict between or war that's taking place in between Ukraine and Russia. And then I think there's a bunch of other drones being spotted all over.
We need to talk about the different drones. There's drones that can fly and stop stationary, and there's some drones that cannot.
Okay, I thought all drones could stay stationary or just hover.
No. Some military drones are just basically, some of them are just like a small plane that can carry a payload.
Like a Reaper?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've seen them with that. They have basically the fuselage of an airplane without a pilot seat or anything like that. They've got the big tail end of it. And they can carry a payload of some kind, and they fly at high or low altitudes below radar.
The payload's usually, missiles. They're not at the base where they take off. Okay? They might be in Colorado. They might be in New Jersey. They might be someplace else. And they're flying these things on the halfway around the world. And that's because of satellites and other things that are going on, but it is direct. There's no, we advanced so far that what they see is what's happening.
Okay.
So there's no delay because you can't afford the delay.
That's true. Now the ones that I've been seeing though will come in at a low angle, stop.
Kind of the one I have.
And then move forward in a different direction.
Right.
And I have seen some. Portland's got some. Seattle's got some.
Yeah.
So there's sightings all over the place that are popping up. But the Jersey ones are usually the most prevalent because it got the most press.
Right.
And now you don't even hear any news outlet talking about it.
No. It got cut off really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Except for one news place.
Which is?
News Nation.
Yeah, News Nation seems to be the only one that seems to be broadcasting anything about it. I'm surprised Fox hasn't jumped on it and tagged the X-Files to it or something like that.
Well, even some of the, what I listen to, they call it paranormal because it's UFOs and they bring it all together, right? A lot of them just don't talk about it anymore. They just like, it's...
Why? They're there.
Yeah.
What, it's old news? I don't get it. I just don't get that concept. It's like, oh well, yeah, that's old hat. No, it's a drone. It's still flying around out there, man. What's it doing? It's not bringing me any dinner.
No, it's not. Not bringing my beer.
Crack that son of a bitch open and bring me a beer. I've got the thing is just like there's so many subterfuge. Now remember, I had talked about this once before. I think this drone stuff is going on, and I thought initially at first there was some credence to this, right? So then we started having all these orbs starting to show up,
right?
And I've seen some crazy looking stuff. Now I think AI hasn't quite quite caught up yet, but it's getting pretty close from what I can tell. And it continues to keep advancing to the point where, after a while, I'm not going to be able to tell the difference between what's a fictitious sighting.
Right.
Especially with the way that people do their snippets of 15 second each. I'm going to talk about this right now. So, here in Portland, about a week and a half ago or so, I caught the first couple. I had seen a drone flying over, and it was in the early morning, so it was still dark. So it was like before 7 o'clock a.m. Dark in sky, and I'm riding to work, and I can see these lights on this thing. And it's not flying like a regular helicopter, and it's not a safety or life flight going over to OSHU, which right. is a hospital for life flight here in Portland. And it, you would be able to tell that helicopter immediately because it has a direct purpose. This one just kind of flew over skyline, and the moment it hit that skyline area, the lights went out. Just gone.
Which could mean several things. That's where the person took it off from because it just came straight down, turned, you know. Things about drones, too, I got to tell you, they have an automatic return. So if the battery starts getting low, whatever, they actually return back to where you're controlling them.
Right. So what had been talked about with hobbyist drones versus these drones that have been spotted, right?
Right.
Should be talked about. So battery power is exactly that, battery power. The thing has only so much time before it has to come back. At my workplace, we have a drone that sets up de-icer on the top of our roof so we don't have a major buildup during any kind of snowstorm or anything like that. Thank God we're past that. I don't want to deal with that again. That's a nightmare.
This is the West Coast. Right?
Yeah. And Portland does not deal well with snow.
You on the, you in the Midwest and the East Coast. You know, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So we have drones that return on their path once they get down low on their battery power. It follows its trail back to where it started off, and that's it. Well, these other drones are not definitely not hobbyist drones because they are flying for hours on end.
Right.
With no correlation what's happening. Now, what I saw was a couple drones that were flying in the East Portland area of Portland. What they would do, and they weren't helicopters, because they would fly past each other, stop, and then continue on, and one would stop, and then it would do some light flashing of some kind. And I could not figure out what the hell. And I actually have this. Now, the problem I had is that when I went to go post this on TikTok, of all things, right, they automatically gave me a music choice right from the top. I was trying to go without the music because when you add music,
it makes it,
it seems overly sensationalized. Right. And it's just like, no, there were drones in Portland, but I don't need to hear Pink Floyd. Is anybody out there? And it just, it took me out of the moment. And it's like when I watch some of these other videos, I don't need to hear background music being added because they always try to do like some weird spooky music. And it's like, no, if you're looking for clicks, great. Then just put yourself on a site that's like, I'm looking for clicks. Just put it in the byline. Put it in the tagline.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to get people to take you legitimately, post the whole thing.
Right.
Instead of a 15-second bit or at least a minute that you can do online. Or do it live. Now, I've seen TikTok has live action stuff that you can put up there. You can do, you can stream like that to YouTube as well. Or to...
Tell you the live feed.
Yeah.
The incident in Phoenix, Arizona with the triangle, and people think it was only like a couple of people saw it. There was hundreds of people saw it, and there was live recording of that happening at the time. So yeah, you can do that. I think it's a great idea. Sometimes it's far away, so it's kind of hard to see them and stuff, but you can see the lights go up and all of a sudden, phew, you know, make a 90 degree, whatever. So,
well, it's like that that video or the couple different video links I sent you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had different people viewing the same thing from different vantage points, right? It was the wildest looking thing ever. But then I started looking at some other stuff, and then I did see one that seemed to take the same kind of cloud formation and add some sort of weird beehive scenario to it and okay. saying this is taking place in Georgia. And it's like, man, did I get conned on that one?
Yeah.
I might have. But the other one that seems to be from from a different vantage point seems to... That looks pretty realistic looking to me, but what the hell? And then I've seen some other videos of stuff that was shooting across New York skyline.
Right.
But I've only seen stills of that. But AI being what it is now, oh, well, yeah. Don't worry about it, Americans, or whoever you are. It's real. Or not.
So we've kind of thought about this. So I was thinking about this. We were talking about before the show. About drones and how it's in our culture.
Yeah.
So it's in our sci-fi stuff. Okay, here's a good one, Terminator.
Yeah, so remember in the Terminator, you had a couple different high-flying drones that had like the three little maneuverable engines, kind of like a Harrier, right?
Right.
And it's flying, and it's shooting its little laser beams, pew, 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 you know, like the very beginning of the Terminator when Kyle Reese is explaining what happens in the near future when Skynet takes over or something like that. Well, great. Okay, we're about maybe 30 years behind or whatever, but hey, I think Skynet's here. Kinda.
Oh, AI.
Yeah, exactly. And I was taking a look, and it's just like, what I'm concerned about is when AI gets a hold of a quantum computer.
Ooh, that would be, yeah.
That's not going to be good. Because quantum computing gives all kinds of different weird variables, and that's just gets into some weird stuff.
Well, and then we'll let's go to, in space ones where they send out probes, which are basically drones telling them what's around there or whatever.
Yeah, they've got cameras on them, and they're beaming back information back to a point of origin, which is Earth.
Yeah. Oh, Voyager.
Voyager?
Yeah.
And then let's think about the previous group of probes that went into deep space.
Yeah.
The Pioneer.
Pioneer.
So Pioneer got some great shots of Jupiter and Saturn on their way out of the solar system. Then you had Voyagers 1 and 2. You haven't had anything else going out into deep space as far as I know, or not planned.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. Little did they know that on the return back in the 23rd century, V'ger would come back.
Well, now they have, they call it an airplane, the space airplane that the military has out.
That weird looking thing. It looks like kind of like a space shuttle.
Kind of.
The U.S. Air Force.
They had one up there for 2 years.
Yep, flying around.
Flying around. And those are not told when they go up or anything.
XB something or other, I think.
And they do land this like one, and they can carry a payload.
Yep. And then they take off again.
And they take off again. That's right.
And it's got the shielding just like a space shuttle.
Yeah.
What's it doing up there?
And it's, guess what? There's a person in a little cubicle sitting there flying it back.
On a flight path.
Yeah.
That is nearly out of orbit. It's near orbit, I guess.
I don't think it's computerized to put it in there, because if there's a variation and stuff, they have to have somebody take it over. So
probably.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. I just think it's a bait and switch.
Well, I think so too. And the other thing too is that a lot of, like I said already before, there seems to be a blackout going on about drones.
Yeah.
Now, why is that? What's the Now, initially, from what I had heard and had given it some serious thought, is that you didn't want to say that was some adversary that we have here on Earth, because what that would do is that would escalate already high tensions between countries to that point of DEFCON 1.
Right. Like I already mentioned that, you know, so if one of our adversaries has drones over our military base, that is actually could be an act of war.
Yeah.
Because it's espionage, they're checking everything out, that type of thing. So instead of saying that who it is, you know, they're just kind of like, oh, they're drones. They're not saying who it is.
Yeah. So it could be a foreign adversary, but they don't want to say it by name, because by doing that, then it's an inflammatory statement that people can use to their advantage or whatever. And I don't know what advantage that the countries of either China or Russia. Sorry, that's my phone.
That's okay.
Beeping at me. It's my own drone on my side of my hip that's telling me to do something. Sorry. But you don't want to be saying that it's one of these guys, because then they... But what use would it be by calling China out on it? Are they going to start firing nukes at us then?
Huh.
What good would that do? Oh, we bombed them. Well, great.
Do we
you
have...
just ruined half the hemisphere with a bunch of radiation. Good job, North Korea.
Well, you know what? It's high-tech, low-tech. So we have the spy planes that are so far up that they go over there. Even the satellites now.
Mm-hmm.
So used to be the, what was the spy plane?
Oh, the SR-71?
Yeah.
Blackbird.
And actually got shot down, didn't it? The first one, didn't it get shot down, one of them?
No. Not that as far as I know.
One got something.
The U-2 plane got shot
down. Oh, there you go.
That was Gary Powers, but that was back in the 1960s.
Yeah. And so what they do is, like, they fly so fast, and they try taking pictures at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So they're...
High-speed camera.
Yeah, high-speed camera. Well, it'd have to be.
It was way fast.
Look at this blur.
I actually heard that there had been an instance once when an SR-71... actually outflew a rocket. Rockets are much
more
powerful.
I heard that one too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the plane pilot managed to outfly the rocket, which is insane
to
even think about. But that actually happened. But I think that happened years and years ago.
The hypersonic missiles that they have now are supposed to go Mach 2?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, which is really fast. I hate to scare people, but it's like less than 15 minutes if they fire one of those Russia fires to the United States.
Right. But I'm not going to buy any of that. Again, the concept of the nations going to war and being left with nothing but a nuclear devastated spot like Chernobyl or worse makes absolutely ass all no sense. What good is that going to do you? It's like, well, hey, if you want to buy some property, I got some radioactive property over the United States.
This is my conspiracy on that. Is that why they're building, all the countries are building them? So they can blow up those Tic Tacs that go...
You're not going to catch them. They're not going to be able to catch them. I'm going to say the R word here. That's retarded. Sorry, but that is just the most idiotic thing I've ever... That any military that thinks that they can do that is out of their freaking minds. You may be able to back engineer something like that.
Right.
You may even be able to actually get something operational. But you're not going to be able to catch them. Not going to happen. Get over it. Just admit the fact that you do not have military superiority, period. If you accepted that fact, it's like you can manage your country from otherworldly countries, but if you're talking something from outside, whether it be extraterrestrial or interdimensional, which I think we start having to really, in this context... I think starts to seriously needs to be brought up, because I think that is starting to really...
That has been brought up a lot lately about
that. Because it gives a lot more credence to the stuff that's happened over decades. So what used to be considered supernatural is actually extra-dimensional.
Right.
And so by starting to look at that as extra-dimensionality as opposed to extraterrestrial... You're being able to make huge leaps and bounds and being able to phase in and out of what we call reality, you know, 3D, to something else. And they're being able to pop in and out all the time.
Right.
It's like, how many people have ever been able to catch a ghost? And don't tell me about the protein or the proton packet. That's not going
to
work.
Oh, no. Well, you know how to tell if there is one, right? You put the flour all over the floor.
Oh, oh my God.
See if there's footsteps. Okay, but, kids, to find out.
Yeah. If you want to find out if you've got a ghost in your closet, you got to sprinkle a bunch of flour over the floor and you see footsteps in there. Then
all the way down the hallway, all over your floor.
Your mom's going to be really mad.
And tell him Alan told you to do it.
Sure. I told you to do it.
So, I mean, really, I think some of these probes that we've been talking about,
right.
And Paul's right. I mean, we're sending probes out into deep space right now, and, you know, Voyager has gone beyond the heliopause, I think is what it's called.
Right.
The barrier of the difference between what we call the solar system and intergalactic space.
Right.
And so it has broken through that barrier, and it's still beaming periodically back to us, which is remarkable. It is the
they
first...
thought it was, you know, year decades ago they thought it would be done.
No, but it's still transmitting.
Yeah,
but it's very minute, and then some of the data that it's sending back is all kind of weird and corrupted or something like that. But it is the furthest man-made object ever.
That's right.
And it's still going out there. And I forget exactly how fast it's traveling, but it's going super fast.
And it has the disc on it.
Mm-hmm. That gold disc.
The gold disc, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a record.
It's a record.
That's right.
What alien species is going to have a needle that's going to be able to pick that up? Can you imagine an alien DJ out there? Get a hold of that disc. And it's
DJ.
Like,
yeah,
man. You need to spin this at this particular speed. Ah, my Vulcan ears are freaking out. Turn that noise off. Oh, my God.
We've talked about that, and just a couple of other things we want to talk about. Drones are only supposed to be flown 30 minutes after sunset and 30 minutes before sunrise. If they're at night, they're breaking, actually, federal law. Because they're regulated by FAA.
Mm-hmm.
All drones, all pilots, even your recreational people, are supposed to get a recreational license.
Yes.
And register their drone. If you don't, you're breaking the FAA regulations.
Correct.
I can just see it now. Who cares?
Well, Paul and I were just talking about one of the things that you're not supposed to be able to use a drone for was hunting or fishing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what FAA guy is going to say, oh, that guy's breaking the law. I mean, is it going to show up on a GPS or something?
No.
Would it ping the FAA?
No.
So, go at it, you nasty hunter fisherman people. Looking for those herds.
Herds.
You're going to use the sound of the buzzing of that unless it gets smacked by a rock by a Sasquatch or something. Or scare deer into a clearing where you can take a pot shot at them. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you can't shoot at them because, like we talked about, the consequences of missing it.
Oh, yeah. So if you, as Paul's mentioned, it's like, or I actually heard this before, Elizondo even said it's like,
yeah.
If you shoot at something, eventually whatever you're shooting at is going to have to come down. So if you were to shoot, all right, let's just say this, okay? Whatever reason you happen to have, like a uranium pellet gun.
Look, Bobby Joe, what is that up there?
I don't know, but I'm going to get my uranium pellet gun out here and I'm going to take a shot at it.
Poof. That shot misses the target.
Right.
But it goes and goes and goes, and then it loses its velocity at some point, right? But it will come down. I mean, that's gravity for you folks. And it comes down and... Now, I don't know what speed that's going to come down. I don't know what kind of damage it's going to do when it comes down. But it's going to come down. If you shoot at a drone, which is what we were talking about a little earlier before that we started. If you hit a drone, like the guys in Jersey were talking about.
Right.
Not only does that buckshot or whatever you're shooting at it come down, but also the parts of that drone are going to come down. And are you bringing it down in a area that is inhabited? Is it going to come down in a field? What's going to happen?
Could start a fire. Could be
exactly.
Lots of things. Yeah.
Now, the likelihood that it's going to start a fire, probably not because of the winter.
Well, yeah, the winter. But if it's during the summer and those batteries.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there could be a spark easily from this because there's a lot of wires, a lot of, it depends on what kind of blades they're using. If they're bigger ones, they tend not to try to use the really flimsy plastic ones. They're using some heavy-duty blades on those.
Yeah, those are going to go flying.
Yeah.
Shrapnel. And then, flying shrapnel.
Flying shrapnel.
I mean, those blades would get flying.
Oh, there goes my pizza. Oh, God.
If you've ever seen, like, I don't know where this, I saw a car tire come ripping down a road right into a house.
Yeah.
That just ripped right off a truck or something. Yeah. And it was the most craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like, oh, my God, lady takes tire to the face. Boom. She's gone. It was in a car race, like one of the racing things, man. The tire just flew off this race car and smacked her straight right on. It's like she was eating some serious rubber.
Yeah. I won't go to the nicknames.
I want him to. I want him to.
And I feel sorry for that lady, by the way.
So do I. I mean, it's horrific. And I can't help but laugh because of the horror of that concept.
Well, here's the other part. You know, they have the cages around those two. Some have cages, but
this
some
thing
don't.
Ripped right through it.
Right. And so, no, I'm talking about a drone, right?
Oh, okay.
So if you have the, you know, we're talking maybe 24-inch diameter for those blades, and they're heavy and they're fast. So if it comes down, I mean, it could cut somebody. It could cut fingers off. It could. I mean, there's a lot of things it can do.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
It could do a lot of damage.
Yeah. So that's why they don't try to shoot them down. But, you know, there's been ideas like, why don't they use nets?
Because the net's not going to do anything.
No.
How are you going to catch it? How are you going to ensnare it?
Well, this is the thing. So they wanted to say, oh, get the helicopters up there. Well, it's forcing them down, or it's going to take the helicopter out.
You think a helicopter pilot wants to go up there? No way, man.
No. One of those, he's get caught in one of the props.
Boom.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a laser of some kind, you might be able to hit it. But that means the atmosphere has to be proper for it. I mean, you remember seeing the pictures of the laser that's mounted on the warship?
Yeah.
Cool looking shot, right?
Right.
However, the weather needs to be absolutely perfect for that laser to work because of the way that light is going to disseminate, you know, in the atmosphere. Water particles refract the
electric. That's what I said. It's going to refract, yeah.
Exactly. So what's next? Well, you'd be stuck with having to use an actual physical object.
Right.
But it would have to be incredibly fast, and it would have to be incredibly dense to hit it. And like I was saying, that uranium pellet that they do use on some of the ships for their rotary guns for those, was it the C-RAM Gatling guns or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. And but the thing about
those, they're armor piercing, by the way.
But those particular bullets are set to explode after a period of time if they don't come in contact.
Right.
So, okay, that's kind of cool, but that's a lot of money to be spending on one of those things.
They are expensive,
They're incredibly expensive. But if you got, let's say you got an Apache helicopter up there and you're hunting down some drones, and you had one of those on there with those kind of rounds, you might be able to take out a drone, but what at what cost?
Right.
I mean, the financial cost of bringing one of these things down is going to be astronomical just alone. And that's, I think, the reason why there's been so much pushback from from state officials against the feds, because the feds don't have the money to just be wasting money on this stuff. I think that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't have the money for it. Really? You can afford to pay. You can make a character like Steve Austin, but you don't have enough money to get one of these guys. I don't want to be known about Death Probe coming down and like knocking people out from Russia.
Well,
I saw one. We actually have a robot at work that looks like that. It sounds like it when it's coming down the hall.
Is that with the face on it? Or
yeah, it's got the little crazy eyes on it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like I'm waiting for a little laser beam to start shooting out of it.
Did they have the one? What was the one that you had to put the Facebook on? Oh. Didn't you guys have one? Did we have one there one time?
Well, we do now. We have two of them, actually. And it's got little blinky eyes on it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's crazy, dude. I don't know. We have our own, like, variations of drones at work right now, so.
So, history. History of drones. We can thank one person who actually did remote control, and that is Tesla.
That is correct.
And so they said that, you know, there's another person said he's the father of drones because he made it and did that. But Tesla is the one who actually could remote control. He remote controlled a
ship,
boat. Yeah, in the lake with remote control, just like you have now with the
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it started from.
So it's been in development for years and they've been perfecting it. Now, bait and switch. Bait and switch. Now, I'm going to get into a little bit of the esoteric here for a sec here, because we've already touched on it before. So not only are there drones, but there are also what's been reported and been seen are orbs. Now, there have been a lot of different sightings of orbs all over the world as well, along with the drones. So it's like, what's the reason behind it? Are you trying to cause a fear factor? Back in 1964, there was a TV show called The Outer Limits. There was a episode called Architects of Fear, and it's got Robert Culp in it. And the idea around this is that you had a small secretive organization of world leaders that said the only way that we could bring humanity together is to have a common foe for humanity to fight.
Right.
Okay. And so they genetically changed Robert Culp from a human being into this Thygarian or whatever not Targaryen, but Thygarian or whatever it is,
yeah,
looking creature. It was so horrific looking that they actually had to black it out on the TV at the time on ABC, which the creature looks pretty horrific, but I can only imagine what it looked like back then for people who've never seen anything like it.
Oh, yeah.
So, that being said, you come to now. So not only do you have a lot of fear-based stuff that's going on right now, because you have not only these orbs that nobody knows what they're doing, and they're changing color and look like a plasma ball with electricity shooting all around it and stuff like that. But then you got the drones out there. Are you trying to cause fear and panic amongst the populace? The fact that we don't have any news about either one of them being shown on regular media outlets makes me think that that's what's happening, because we don't know what's going on. You're escalating that fear factor, and it makes it easier for people to channel their aggressions and emotions towards something that can be controlled by a different group of people. Now, I'm not saying that's actually happening. But from my vantage point, I could see that happen. It's a possibility, but I would like to not think of it as being a possibility at all. I hate that idea. But what are we doing? What is the United States doing? What are the world countries doing? Disclosure is going at a regular, slow-going pace.
Right.
I think most people right now could handle a disclosure of a vast amount of information. I really do believe that they could handle that. I'm not saying that everybody's going to. There are going to be people who freak out about it. But I think disclosure needs to move a little faster. Not much, a little faster, and a little bit more. Let's talk about where these drones are coming from. Let's talk about where these groups of people who are retrieval and bringing all these orbs back, like they just had that next whistleblower that just came out with the egg-shaped UFO.
Right.
That was
pretty cool.
That was wild, some wild and wacky stuff.
Wild and wacky.
Yeah. And I can only imagine if Johnny Carson were still around, I'm sure he's hey, Ed, did you see in the newspaper today that egg-shaped UFO?
Yes, sir. Correct you are. Yes, I saw it. Gonna scramble it up.
I mean, you know,
I mean, seriously, but I mean, the disclosure still needs to be put forward. This whole idea of a governmental agency, which was supposed to be this mind-blowing thing, I think is a bunch of BS. That's another bait and switch to me.
The Arrow report,
yeah,
that came out, they said it's a joke. The one that says, you know, there's no UFOs. And this is, they're looking into it. That's the one that just came out, what this last year?
Oh, this is the one that was done by Dr. Kilpatrick.
Is it Dr. Kilpatrick? Or anyway, this well, there, was there, head of the department.
And there's a reason why I asked that question, because the guy who's supposed to be in charge of Arrow is supposed to be a lot more thoughtful as far as him right. being able to accept stuff going on. Kilpatrick kind of said, oh, no. And then he quit.
And then he changed his mind.
And then he changed his tune. It's just like, so are you under the thumb of somebody? You must be.
Yeah.
Then you have Congresswoman Diego Luna, I think, I think that's her name. I think it's a hyphenated name. That's supposed to be in charge of like figuring out JFK, RFK, MLK, UFOs, USOs, all this other stuff. And it's all in this umbrella academy.
Home security, isn't it?
Yeah, something like
Homeland
that.
Homeland security.
Like, it's just like, well, hold on. I feel like you guys, it's kind of like, it's like a really bad Hollywood production. So, for example, right? Every year or two, Paramount will put out an ad for a new Star Trek movie, Star Trek 4. They have pulled out this carpet literally every couple years or so. Hey, there's a new Star Trek 4 movie coming out with Chris Pine and this and Zachary Quinto and the rest of these guys from the Kelvin timeline. It's like, but none of those actors know anything about it. Yeah. Paramount just throws this out there just to keep interest in the Star Trek right. brand. In a way, I feel like the government, in some fashion, and I'm guessing this guy's at Pentagon, are doing the same kind of thing. It goes right along with that Robertson report that came out years ago about using Hollywood as a way of being able to, let's mitigate the problems that we're having. And they're still doing it. And people don't even know it's happening.
Yeah, I could see that. That's no
it
problem.
It totally makes sense to me. But nobody that I know of that is under the age of 40, really, gives two rips about the UFO stuff. There's one person, and he's not even worth talking to because he's a
man, he's not worth my time.
But I think that there are a lot of people under the age that could get two rips. And I've seen people's reactions like, yeah, so what are you going to do for me? Are you going to help pay my bills? No. If there is disclosure, what it needs to do is just come out and say, yes, there are alien races that are out there. They have been visiting us. They have air superiority over us. Done. Okay, great. As long as you don't fly into one of our airplanes or disrupt our military right. capabilities, great. If you want to show us a way that we can be better, not just, I mean, if you want to not necessarily challenge your prime directive or whatever, but if you want to help us out a little bit, at least steer us in the right direction.
Well, I could see, I understand what you're saying, but I could see that being the new nuclear threat for people, where they would, you know, we need to lock our doors, or this house isn't going to do it, we got to do something else, or that type of thing. I could see that happening, and I could see the preppers just really going wild.
Oh yeah, but I really think that people are smart enough to be able to differentiate between the two of them. I mean, I've already lived in a house that had a bomb shelter built into it.
Alan, I hate to bring politics up. You just said that, but look at our last election.
I'm not even going to talk about it. Nope. Can't do it. The less energy I give to it.
I could see it, yes, not being, but also all the other things involved in that. What would happen? Structured religion would pretty much kind of, you know.
Is structured religion
as strong as it once was?
In some, yes.
In some other countries, I'm assuming?
Right.
If your first world countries are... This is going to be an interesting little topic here. Getting far off of the drones and everything. Yes. But if you have your first world countries admit that there was something out there, eventually it'll disseminate into the third world countries and give credence to what they've cited, which had been blown off by the first world countries for years.
Well, this actually does count into the drones because an egg, those egg-shaped things, that's a drone for aliens. I mean, there's some that are probably not, like the orbs that come down and stuff. Yeah, so.
So I, but here, there are some problems with those retrievals because of what's happened to those pilots. I mean, that needs to be addressed at some point. And maybe we'll get into it at a later date. But from what I was able to pick up from the last interview that Ross Coldheart had with that whistleblower who's got that that company that he's got called Skywatcher, I'd be really curious to check in with that one. That was being brought up again earlier today.
Did you saw that? He had a new series out about... He's trying to get evidence to prove that the Arrow report was wrong.
How do you mean by wrong?
He's trying to get proof that not necessarily video proof, but physical proof that we have aliens here.
Oh,
which would make that report go...
And it would be documented and be reported by several different high-tech ways of going about reporting anything that they're seeing.
Exactly what he's doing. Yeah,
all the data points that you can see is like this particular object materialized because we summoned it here by using a bunch of remote viewers who were under a watchful eye, both from a medical point of view, and they touched something and were able to summon something into physical existence. Get a hold of it, document it, and then I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can get a drone of some kind, great, go for it. What is it? It's a ball. It looks like a metal sphere. I have no idea what this is. Measures 2 feet in diameter. Clear, polished, and round. Looks like a bowling ball. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a cosmic bowling ball. Silver Surfer was shooting off some stuff, and he had a battle with Galactus, and, oh, well, I guess that got knocked out. Whoops.
I want to say that whatever you believe what these drones are,
yeah,
who's doing it, 'cause we know they're big, so just remember that... According to FAA regulations,
breaking the law.
They're breaking all the regulations. I mean, no fly zones, things like that. Every state has a different thing, but basically it's like areas that are military or, that not secret, but just areas that are private and do not, there's no fly list, no fly zone over it. And that's what's happening is that whoever's doing it just doesn't care, right?
Yeah, they don't care. And I think, again, this unknown aspect drums up a lot of unwarranted fear about... I mean, it's like when I told my friends, I saw some drones, like, what are they doing? That was the reaction I got from one of my bartenders. Yeah. And it's just like, that's a fear response right there. And I wasn't trying to elicit one, but I was just making a comment that I saw something.
Yeah.
And it's just like... The general public is in the same ass. They're in the same boat. They don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
And I've watched them early morning when I was having to catch the bus into work. It's still dark. So it's like just before dawn. Okay. They always disappear just before dawn for whatever reason. The last couple of them I watched, they flew across like they were tracking across 82nd, came across over to Woodstock, made a turn, and then flew over, bright light, and then it was gone.
Wow. Did it just disappear over the Willamette? I don't know. Which is a river nearby Portland, and it cuts through. So I have no idea. I have no idea. The thing is they're there. We don't know what they are. But the thing I have to remind people is don't be fearful when you go out there, guys. It's the biggest thing I can say is, like, don't let fear get the better of you. Come at it with a logical thing. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, they're there. I acknowledge that they're there. But don't let fear get the better of you, because that doesn't do you any good, and it doesn't do anybody else any good.
Be more exploratory, like, okay, kind of look at it and question yourself and question what it's doing and what's happening in the surrounding. I mean, that's the best thing to do.
Channel your best inner Vulcan. Fascinating.
Fascinating.
I mean, and really, if you look at it from a clinical point of view, you could actually look at it and really, like, instead of letting your emotions get the better of you, which has controlled mankind for years, if you looked at it from a clinical point of view, you could document it and say, okay, this is happening. If I needed to report it because it seems to be rather close to my domicile, then I know exactly right how to do it with a clinical point of view, instead of saying, well, I felt like when I did an interview with a lady who thought she saw a chupacabra. She was so fearful and stuff. And
so I got a question for you. How high do you think those are?
Oh, the ones that I'm seeing?
Yeah. 400 feet is the top level.
My guess is that they're flying roughly about maybe 200, maybe about 200 feet up or so, maybe 180.
Well, if they go over sunset, that's
still pretty high up there. But, I mean, that's higher than some of these trees for sure.
Yeah.
And we do, okay, so in the neighborhood that we're living in, there are some fairly tall Doug fir.
Right. Well, the one I have right next to me, which is a
sequoia.
Sequoia, yeah. is easy 100 feet.
Easy 100. And he's just a baby. He's just a baby. But I'm guessing that these drones are flying about maybe 200, maybe 180 to 200 feet up.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of them at a time. They do a crisscross of the sky over certain neighborhoods, it seems like. But I've tried to watch them, but for whatever reason, I lose track of them. I try to keep a real close eye on them, and for whatever reason, when I turn away, then they're just gone. They're just gone. So I don't know if it's if my human aspect of it is just turning me away because I need to focus on what's directly ahead of me, which is usually because if I'm riding a bike, you kind of need to take.
Yeah.
You need to see what's in front of you. And I'm assuming that's the same with most people. If they're driving their cars, they'll say, oh, well, there's what looks like an airplane or a helicopter. And we do have patrolling police helicopters that travel.
But you know they're helicopters.
But you know they're helicopters.
You can hear them far away.
And they're not speeding towards a hospital like the Life Flight.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen a couple military ones, but they usually fly during the course of the day.
And again, you can hear those coming. Yeah.
Exactly. Long distance. It's telegraphed. So the drones aren't making that kind of a noise at all. But they are doing a crisscross pattern of sorts over certain neighborhoods. And they are seem to be, they do come out at night. They mostly come out at night.
Drones come out at night.
Oh, I was wanting to make another lyric there, but I couldn't come up with something. Damn. Anyway. But they're there. But I've videotaped it and stuff like that and try to showcase it in its totality as without the Pink Floyd music. God damn it, that made me so mad.
Well, again, that's that. But again, we're not hearing anything from the news. Anything from the police that's come out. I'm sure they've seen it. Or is it the police? We don't know. There's nothing being said.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
So, and again, they'll probably direct you to the FAA.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm going to believe anything I'm going to have to say.
For you people that want to get into this hobby, it is a hobby. There's racing ones. There's all a whole bunch of different things you can do with these, and they can be really fun. But they just changed the regulations in September. That's why this is a little bit different. Where you can fly them at and everything, because it was just getting too much freedom on him. Like, you know, the realtors used to, I don't know if they still do, but they used them for the property.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is it gets the surrounding property, which they do not have the okay for.
No.
Okay. And then you have Amazon. And Amazon is delivering. I don't know if it still does, but it's going over areas they're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they were talking about food delivery and everything else. Well, until everything gets straightened out, that's not going to happen anymore.
It can't because, one, again, you're viewing areas that aren't within your route unless you're following a road.
Right.
You know, like a Google Earth or something like that.
Yeah.
And you're following that road, and you come to that particular address, and you drop it off actually in front of the house as opposed to the actual address.
Right. But the problem is, as you're going and you're up high enough, you're getting the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
The front of the houses, which is, you're not flying over it, but...
You're in some weird, touchy territory.
It's gray area. Yeah.
Unless you're that house that's up on Holgate over here. You know which house I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
There's a house that's on your way between 82nd and 72nd, within that 10 block route of Holgate. There's a house on the side of the road that seems to have a lot of surveillance stuff. Windows are all coated in tinfoil, and there are cameras on every corner, and they're like very large ham radio operating towers over there. And it's like, just seems like an oddball place. Now, it could be that there's a person who's a shut-in, and that's a very good possibility.
Right.
I've come across those a fair amount of my time, but this is really taking it to the next level because I've never seen so many cameras mounted outside of a house.
Right.
And it's just like...
I'm sure it's been looked into.
Oh, I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
Or tried to be looked into, and it was reflected back.
I wonder if the person wears the aluminum hats.
I wondered about that. I keep looking, you know, when I ride past that every once in a while when I'm heading over to GNC to get some of my vitamins or something like that. It's like, man, I wonder if... that guy okay?
By the way, when you make those aluminum hats, you never make them smooth. You're supposed to make them up, and so he has this point on the top, so it looks like a Hershey Kiss. So it reflects. It can't, you know, it just bounces right off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Anyway.
So we're going to call it a day here. So this is a day. This is Paul.
This is Alan.
And next week, I think we're going to talk about something that we can have fun with. And that's a United States Space Force.
Oh, my God.
So, again, for our next episode, we'll see you then. This is Comedy Potpourri. Bye.
Bye.